Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, the show about sex and happiness. And today I'm happy and feeling sexy. I'm introducing a friend of mine, somebody, a co-worker, somebody I'm co-facilitating workshops with, and her name is Crystal Dawn Morris. And Crystal Dawn is the founder of Tantra for Awakening. She actually is based in Sedona, Arizona, so she's kind of my neighbor. And we're going to talk today about how Crystal got started and what she's doing, and then we're going to talk about our ISTA Level 1 workshop that's coming up. So, Crystal, thank you for joining me today. I know that you're in Atlanta, and so we're doing this kind of Skype thing long distance, but it's great to have you on my show again.
It's great to be here.
Great. So tell me a little bit, how did you get started in Tantra and shamanism and the things that you're up to these days? Because you're like a spiritual midwife, you're a Tantra teacher, you're certified in sky dancing Tantra. So how'd you get interested in all this?
Back in the late 80s, when I was in midwifery school, I had a Kundalini awakening experience that happened spontaneously while I was having sex. And that was sort of my first initiation into Tantra. And that was right around the time both Charles and Carolyn's book, Conscious Loving, came out. And also Margot's book, The Art of Sexual Ecstasy, came out. And so because of that experience, I was interested in finding out more about Tantra. And so I was, for many years, I was kind of just doing that on my own. And I was deeply studying shamanism. And I studied with Michael Harner and the Foundation for Shamanic Studies. And I was doing that for about 15 years, and I was also very involved with Native American healing work and doing sweat lodges and vision tests and that sort of thing. And I think right after, in 2001, right after 9/11, I was doing a vision quest, and in that vision quest process, I was inside of a sweat lodge for 3 days and nights without any food or water.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was very intense, but it was a beautiful experience. And one of the things that came during that vision quest was I was told by the spirits that that it was time for me to shift my spirituality, and I didn't need to do this kind of more masculine-oriented Native American approach, very Lakota approach. And it was time to have something that was more about pleasure and joy and fun. So shortly thereafter, I had really been interested in the Tantra all along, but was a friend invited me to go to a sky dancing workshop. And then in that experience, I was just like, I am sky dancing Tantra. That's how I felt, like I had come home. So
awesome.
So I quickly signed up for a workshop with Margo Anon, who created that. Once I did that, I was like, I knew I needed to just stay on that path. And when Margo basically developed sky dancing, she was a follower of Osho's, and he basically decided that she was going to be one of his Tantra people and started sending her people to do initiations with, and along with instructions about what to do. And so that's how she started developing sky dancing.
She actually has been on my show before, and she described the experience of Osho saying to her, okay, you're going here now and you're going to teach Tantra. And then him sending her instructions on what she'd go like, wait a minute. You know, I don't even know what I'm doing. And he would say, I'll tell you what to do. Just go. So.
Yeah. That's exactly how she described it. So that process, she gradually developed, and she had come from a psychology background. So what's beautiful about sky dancing is it really brings together the Eastern traditions of Buddhist Tantra, sort of Hindu Tantra, Taoist teachings, and a little bit of Kodosha, which is more the Native American approach to Tantra. And she brings it all together very much for the modern, you know, sensibility.
Yeah.
And she also weaves in some gestalt and some other more psychological NLP and some of those kind of modern psychological aspects as well.
So you have a background in all that coming from her, and then from the things that you studied before. You studied shamanism.
So I was a midwife for 25 years. And then I was also studying shamanism very deeply. And then I started doing, I've been doing the Tantra for many years. So that kind of brought all that together. And I would say my passion right now is more into the non-dual sort of meditation. And that's another passion I have. So I'm kind of, I see what I'm, where I'm at in my path right now is how to kind of bring all those streams together. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's kind of interesting with the event we're going to be teaching in Phoenix, because that's called the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Experience, and it does kind of weave together the spiritual, the sexual, and the shamanic. I find that really exciting.
Yes, that is exciting. It's bringing it all together and being with people, which we should talk about a little bit. We're going to be with people for a whole week. And when we're with people for a whole week, it gives them an immersion into being in community and going through everything without running home and then getting, you know, saying, oh, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. But for a whole week, when we have people for a whole week, it gets them to look at things and it has them feel safer than if they just do a very short course and then go home and fall right back into everything that wasn't like what it was in the course.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's really powerful about doing a week long training is you can go very deep and we create such a safe container. And I think, like, as a midwife, that's one of the things that you know, the real importance of that is that people, in order to go through a rebirthing or a real transformation process, people have to have that womb-like space where they can really dive deep and know that they're safe and that they can, in a sense, it's, you know, transformation is, in a sense, a bit of falling apart, letting go of the way that you've been holding yourself in a certain way so that you can give rebirth yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's really what the training we're going to be doing is about, of really letting go of all the parts that no longer serve you so that you can really make that shift into coming to a place of really knowing who you are, letting go of the old conditioning, and being able to really celebrate your essence, you know, both spiritually, sexually. And the shamanic aspect has to do with that, like really taking people through initiatory processes that really make that rebirthing happen, like very, you know, now in the moment.
Yeah, it's beautiful, really beautiful. I can't wait to do it. I'm going to be facilitating for the first time with you. Now, you've been an ISTA facilitator for a few years.
Well, I actually did an apprenticeship program in 2008, and I was involved in that a bit. And I got involved with ISTA before it was even called ISTA back in 07. And then I was involved with the apprenticeship program in 08. And then I started teaching the training in 2010. And so I've been involved, yeah, since 2007.
Yeah, and ISTA, again, for everybody, is International School of Temple Arts. And if you want to find out about that some more, which I thoroughly encourage you to find out about, because not only is Crystal there and I'm there, and Dez is there, who you've experienced before as well, Baba Dez, All of our credentials are there and all of the exciting trainings going on. schooloftemplearts.org. And that's where you find out more about it. So we would love for you to visit that. We're going to talk more about it as we go on today, but you could visit it while you're listening or while you're watching. I won't take it personally if you go to find out more about the training that we're going to be doing. Now, I just recently got involved with, I mean, I've been presenting at ISTA conferences for quite some time, but I just recently decided to join the faculty of ISTA. And so I'm going to be doing my cameo performance of co-facilitating the ISTA Level 1 Sexual Shamanic, Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Training. See, I don't even, it's such a tongue twister. It's like Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers. But anyway, the SSSEX training, I'm going to be making my cameo appearance with Crystal Dawn here in Phoenix, September 21 to the 28th. And I'm very excited about it because I thought it was a really, really worthwhile training, and I know it's going to be with us together. And we also have another awesome co-facilitator whose name is Lawrence Lanoff. He's been a guest on my show as well many, many moons ago. Lawrence is an amazing guy. He was a director of movies for Playboy magazine. He's a regular blogger on the Dodson Ross blog, which is Betty Dodson and Carlin Ross. He has quite a background himself. So
we are
both excited to facilitate with Lawrence.
Yeah, and I facilitated Lawrence. First time I facilitated with him was in 2010. And he has a strong shamanic background as well. And so he and I really vibe together. And I just totally loved having you at the last training in San Diego. And I felt like you and I just feel like you're a sister. So I know the three of us is going to be a really amazing synergy.
Yeah, a beautiful synergy. Well, we're going to take a little break here for 1 second. And then we're going to be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world, and I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it, and every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the Love Rider in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse, and they lean back and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention. And you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code Butterfly Workshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com. LUVRYDR. When I get that feeling, I want
sexual healing. We are back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and today I'm interviewing Crystal Dawn Morris, who is not only a shaman woman and a tantra teacher, but she is one of the co-facilitators of the ISTA training.
So, Crystal Dawn, I'd like to ask you some more questions really about if people are looking at this transformational work that we're talking about, like, why would somebody want to participate with us? You've had some experience facilitating it since 2010. Why would somebody want to participate? Why, in fact, would they place their money down, fly to Phoenix, and come for a week?
Ideally, if we lived in a really enlightened world, everybody would go through this kind of training when they reach their, you know, adulthood, like as young adults, because it's a really foundational body of work that allows you to kind of step fully into yourself as a conscious person, and to also really let go of the old conditioning that we've gotten from our parents, from our society, the things that keep us maybe stuck, you know, stuck in a box or something, where we don't feel totally free to really be who we are, or maybe even know fully who we are. And I think as people are out in the world more, seems like often when people finally come to this, it's more like in their 40s, when they finally start to realize they kind of hit that midlife place, and they suddenly think, you know, I keep hitting up against these same old blocks, and I'm starting to realize they keep limiting me. They limit me in my sexuality, in my creativity, in my expression in the world, in my relationship with myself. And so that's often when people show up for this level of work, to really step in fully into their power as a conscious adult.
Mm-hmm.
But I would encourage any, especially we had more, we're starting to get more younger people.
We had a lot of people in their 20s and the one that yeah. was at. And I was so pleased to see that, because they're starting out so powerfully.
Absolutely. So it was very exciting for me to see at the last training that we had several 20-somethings as well as some 30-somethings, because I'm like, why wait till you're in your 40s? Why not get this when you're in your 20s so that you can really live your whole life in that kind of excitement and celebration?
Yeah.
So it really, the beautiful thing about this training is that it meets you wherever you are. So if you're somebody who's, you know, working through issues around your sexuality, it will really support that kind of a blossoming and a transformation. If you're somebody who's wanting to dive deeper into your spirituality, it'll totally meet you there. If you're somebody who's been dealing with a lot of more emotional or psychological issues, it'll meet you there, because it just really is designed to meet you wherever you are. So I would say if you're somebody who wants to be more, feel more love and more freedom in your life, in whatever way that wants to be channeled, and you're feeling like you're not fully able to just really step into your life, or you're feeling that you keep running up against the same old patterns that somehow are keeping you from really being able to blossom in the way you want.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
perfect. Now, when you first started participating in this and facilitating it, because I don't actually hold myself separate as a facilitator, like when people in my courses are going through certain things, I may have gone through that, or I might not have, and all of a sudden I might be going through something. So what would you say that you personally got out of the ISTA training itself? Because, you know, clearly you're not just somebody falling off of a tree into a training. You came to the training consciously, and you were already on the path. So what would you say that you actually gained?
I remember one moment that was quite powerful for me in the training, and it had to do with a certain, you know, I was thinking I was harboring quite a bit of resentment towards the masculine, towards the father. It had to do with issues with my father, who was pretty much out of my life, you know, since I was very young. It had to do with issues with different past ex-partners. But it also had to do with the masculine in general. Like, there was just a lot of rage that I think had been really suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I think oftentimes for lots of women, that's not true for all women, but a lot of women may have, feel like it's not okay to express your anger. And that's how I was conditioned by my mother, was there was no anger ever expressed in my household, period, as
a
child.
I was complete opposite, so we'll talk about that in a minute. So go ahead.
So, my mother was adult child of alcoholics and had really, parents who acted out a lot. So she was a psychologist. And it wasn't that she told us we weren't allowed to be angry, but somehow the message was just given to us without any words. And so I remember there was a moment where we were going through some emotional release work in the training, and I remember I was kind of thrusting into this pillow, and all of a sudden this rage just came up in me at how angry I was at that. And I think it was a lot of things. It wasn't just the masculine, but it was also the fact that I hadn't been able to express some of these deeply held feelings. And that was so freeing in a way, to finally be able to take back. I think once you kind of really get in touch with those emotions and you're able to take them back, you realize there's a lot of power there. There's a lot of power in whatever we put in the shadow, whether it's our joy, our creativity, our sexuality, our anger. And so reclaiming those shadow parts is huge in being able to really step more fully in your power. And so that was a big thing. And I would say the other really powerful aspect was that a big part of the training is about how do we kind of letting go of a lot of the anxiety that we hold on to in our nervous system,
mm-hmm.
and really coming into a place of more ease right within the whole nervous system, not just less anxious thoughts, but feeling less anxiety in the body, less fear, being able to just be more relaxed. That the work that we teach in the training is very helpful for learning how to reset our neurology, so that we can just move through life with so much more ease and calmness. Not trying, because I think there's a way that psychologically we can be told that we should be more calm, and we can try to be more calm,
yeah.
but that's not the same thing as being calm. And we can act calm, but inside we can still be
crazed.
So I think what I found was that a lot of that work is very helpful in learning how to reset the neurology so that you can just really live life in a much more relaxed way.
That's awesome. Going back to what you said before about not being able to express anger, one of the things Osho said, you mentioned Osho before when you were talking about him sending Margot Anand out to teach Tantra. And Osho was one of the greatest masters of Tantra that ever lived, and probably the most infamous. Anyway, he said something about when people tell you you shouldn't be angry or to let go of your anger or whatever, that's like, it's wrong to be angry. He said that's like telling someone to cut their ear off.
Right.
And he said that anger is a flavor like a spice. Like salt is a spice and pepper is a spice and tarragon is a spice and thyme and rosemary are spices. And he said you shouldn't take any of the spices out of your life. You should learn to accept them, embrace them, and when to use them in appropriate ways. So I'm so glad that you said that, and I just wanted to share that little Osho wisdom. And I love the other piece that you talked about in terms of like getting calm, being able to be calm, not pretending to be calm, like with a plastic coating on. And that's, Osho said this too, like he said that Westerners couldn't just sit in the, with their hands in a mudra and go, and be calm. He said that Westerners have so much going on in their head all the time that it's impossible to be calm with that kind of noise flowing all the way, the monkey mind going all the time. So he said what Westerners have to do is get chaotic. And once they allow themselves to go out of control and get chaotic, then they could get calm. And so I think that the training that we're talking about allows people to go out of control safely, and then they can just come back in and be calm. Yeah.
But yes, I think that's absolutely true. I think one of the things in the West is that we often have been taught that there's a way that we're supposed to act or look or what's appropriate. And we're often taught that to be a good little girl or a good little boy. And we keep getting that kind of conditioning. I have five grandchildren, and the three older ones are homeschooled, unschooled basically. So they've been allowed to they haven't had a lot of that conditioning, like you have to do this. And then they're very authentic and so lovely. And I think that's part of what I'm saying, learning how to be authentically who we are. And I think authentically, when we're allowed to just be as we are, there is a calmness. There's nothing to be afraid of for the most part.
Exactly.
We can just be who we are, and we're not sitting there anxious. But when we're being told that you aren't a good girl if you don't look like this, and then we're constantly saying, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? And there's that little programming that's always in the back of
right.
our mind. And that's especially true around our sexuality, because we're getting all these messages through, you know, popular media and music and movies and TV, and now with porn, like, this is what it looks like to be sexy. And I feel like that's especially true for this younger generation that's had been more exposed to that, because I didn't have a lot. My exposure to porn was like Playboy or like really risque Penthouse, you know, and certainly not a lot of the porn that kids are exposed to now before they reach young adulthood.
Not to mention MTV. Everybody's undulating all the time on MTV. And the lyrics to all the songs are pornographic, or many of the songs. So.
Well, it was interesting. Today, I'm here now in Atlanta with my two younger grandchildren. So they're just 1 and 4. And we were at this little kids' play, indoor play area where they have all these jumpy toys. And so they had this little dance floor in the center of the floor for the little kids, and they project like a music video, you know, where they have the dancers making certain moves so the kids can follow.
Yeah.
And I was watching one of them, and it was so interesting. So it was two kind of older, more adult-shaped people. It's like cartoony, but they're adults. And there was one with a guy. The guy was dressed with long pants and a jacket and a shirt, and he looked cool. And the girl was also wearing the skimpiest outfit, like that you could, you know, like little shorty shorts and a little shorty top. And these long kind of stockings above her knee. And I thought, okay, these are kids that are like 1, 2, 3, 4, not any older than 5. And I'm thinking, they're watching this. And so it was just so interesting how the girls are being portrayed in one way and the guys in another.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting because I'm going, my God, this conditioning now is starting at like 1-year-old.
Wow.
And they're hearing the music and they're wanting to be, you know, cool. Just the idea that there are right kind of dance moves versus wrong. You know, we don't realize how this kind of conditioning can start early. So it was just something that kind of popped out at me. I was thinking about our interview. I was like, oh, there you go. There's that kind of conditioning. This is how they look, and this is how women look, and this is how... And I think there is a sexual vibe in those kind of dance moves.
Absolutely.
What's sexy and what's cool. And so I think that kind of conditioning prevents us from really being able to say, what's authentic for me? How am I a sexual being? How does my sexuality want to express itself? I think there is a way that popular media portrays sexuality that isn't authentic for lots of people. You know?
Exactly. Well, for many people, which we come to find out, but we only find that out because you and I are talking to people about it. Most people are silently going to sleep at night wondering if they're ever going to get anything right. And they can't get the most basic of human instincts right, which is sex.
I mean, I think people are so, I think there is a lot of confusion out there about what is it, what does sexuality mean? What is it all about? Is there something that's right? And I had a group of women I was doing a presentation to last weekend, and they were a group of about 12 women from Los Angeles who were in Sedona for a bachelorette party. And so I was asking them what they knew about Tantra, and one of the women says, well, all I know is it means Sting has sex for 9 hours.
You know, Sting has reversed that. He said that he never said that. How can you take that back? I don't understand.
I don't know. But, you know, it was just interesting hearing. I was like kind of trying to ascertain what they knew about Tantra. And, you know, a lot of them said, well, I know it has something to do with, you know, sex, long sex and bigger orgasms. And so I think, again, when people think about Tantra, often they think, oh, that it's got to be about bigger, better orgasms, or, you know, somehow having, you know, going for hours and hours and hours. And that can happen with Tantra. In fact, I was telling them, you know, I think there's an aspect of Tantra where you can become orgasmic, where you're just orgasmic 24/7, you know. It doesn't look like a sexual orgasm necessarily, but you're experiencing life as an orgasm.
Exactly.
And I know you're like that, too.
That's it. That's it. Make love to life. If you're not making love to life, what are you doing? And why aren't you? It's your birthright.
And that's it. It is our birthright. And that, to me, is the exciting thing about the work that we do, is because I want people to know that. You know, it's just like it's so obvious that it seems strange to me that isn't more out there in the popular world. And,
well, hopefully it's getting more out there. I was hoping that Sting would be more out there about it, and then he retracted. So who knows what happened to him. Maybe he got into shorter orgasms.
I was explaining to these women, I said, well, you know, I've had tea orgasms and toast orgasms, and I even had a car orgasm once, not making love in a car, but I was in a tent, and a car drove by, and it gave me an orgasm, you know?
Wow.
Like, whoa. And then a truck came by after, and I was like, whoa, okay, maybe bigger is better in certain cases.
Yeah, and you can have laugh-gasms, and you could have heart-gasms, and you could have nose-rubbing nose-gasms. I mean, if you're orgasmic and you're happy with your life and you're really connected to your energy, then it's all orgasmic. It really is. We're going to break here for a second. When we come back, I want to share with you what I got from the training that you were leading, because I think, for me, it was a gift. It was really an awesome, awesome gift. So if you just tuned in, you are in touch with Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I'm Laurie Handler, your host, and I'm interviewing Crystal Dawn Morris. And when we get together, we just have the best time. So we'll be right back. Sexual.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with a Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135, and say Laurie Handlers told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men. When I get that
feeling, we're back from break, and I'm interviewing Crystal Dawn Morris, and I'm going to tell her and all of you what I got from the ISTA training, because I got a lot. So thanks for staying tuned. I wanted to tell you what I got. You know, I got a lot from the ISTA training. One of the things that was amazing to me was that in my Tantra training, which I studied with Bodhi Avinasha, We learned how to decorate everything beautifully. You know, like we built temple spaces, and we had these little spaces for everything. And anytime we were going to do a ritual, it was so billowy and so feminine, and so there were no sharp edges anywhere. But we spent hours decorating, and then when it came down to doing the rituals, we didn't spend that much time in the rituals. She rushed us through things. I don't want to get into a whole analysis of why she did that or why it was. But I eventually had to, like, really make up stuff. Like, I had to make up my own happy endings. And I don't mean happy endings in the happy ending massage sense, but my own happy endings to rituals. I had to augment the rituals and build things in where there were things missing. And what I really, really liked about the ISTA training, that it was no nonsense, no holes barred. We didn't spend any time decorating. We just delivered. It was delivered without any drama. There were very intimate things that we participated in. There was a lot of body consciousness. There was a lot of intimate touching that had to do with learning who we are. And there was no hesitancy. There was no weirdness. There was also no, I never felt like anybody was being hit on by anyone. Like, there was no checking out the fresh meat in the meat market. I mean, I have felt like that before in Tantra classes, mm-hmm. in workshops and weekends. This time I just felt like it was a no-nonsense approach to everything sacred. And I thank you for that. I really thank you for that. I just feel like it was such a safety, such a safe place to explore.
I think part of that is, again, creating that container and really being able to have that 7 days to go deep. Part of it is when the people who are facilitating have gone through that and have really normalized it within their neurology, we're not holding anxiety about asking people to do something intimate. And we're also always saying everybody's at choice. No one's being forced to do anything they don't feel right for them. And we always make it work, however it unfolds. So having that kind of permission, you always have permission to be a choice. You're surrounded by the team that's really sees this as everything is very natural and normal and nothing strange or weird. So there's not any kind of sense like, ooh. And I think that really helps when people are in that kind of normalized, it's okay. And also just the flow of how we flow into it, so that there's a place to really release any tensions you have. If something is feeling edgy, that's part of it, learning how to be able to release your emotions so you can come into a place of neurological ease. And I think whole training is really designed to really give people that sense that they're the one who's stepping into this moment, right? You know, it's not like you're being dragged to do something. And because we don't spend a lot of time trying to turn it into some fan, I think there is a way, even though, you know, Margo, I think she doesn't quite go to this level that your teacher did, but she does, like, you know, she's a woman, she likes to feel a little bit pretty. You know, there's flowers and lights and stuff. And it's nice to have a little bit of beauty. But I think also if you spend hours and hours creating the ritual, there's kind of a pressure, like, oh no, now everything's so temple-like and we have to be like gods and goddesses. And then it starts to feel a little intimidating. Versus when it's just kind of like, okay, now let's go. It's okay. We're just going to do this. And yeah. It's kind of like we're all going to do it in whatever way works for us. And we don't have to be held to some kind of imagined level of it's got to be special. It's got to be God, goddessy. Because that's what I was telling these women last weekend. I was saying, you know, as beautiful it is to go and do all the ritual and decorate and get the music and do everything right and dress up, if it becomes too laborious, you just don't do it. It's better to spend 5 or 10 minutes doing some eye gazing and a melting hug and then making love than to not do it at all because it turns into this big laborious.
Right. Because you have to redecorate the house.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people go to a Tantra workshop and they think they can't do Tantra if they don't create this fancy environment. And I'm like, no, just make it normal. Make it every day. Des doesn't call this a Tantra workshop. The spiritual, sexual, and shamanic experience, he doesn't call a Tantra workshop, even though it includes a lot of tantric experiences. And I think partly to because it's not coming from that old tradition, even though it's addressing a lot of similar topics.
Right.
And so I think there's place for ritual, like when we did the gate dinner at the end of our two-week training. I mean, I loved it, the beauty of that and creating.
Thank you. That's my baby.
Yeah, and I love that. And of course, and I think there's a place for that as well. I think that the more we can normalize doing sexual healing, doing emotional releasing, letting go of our conditioning around what is masculine and what is feminine, and really come into the authentic presence of the present moment, whatever that looks like, however that feels, that to me, that's where the real juice is. And that's what it's like when we're living in a world where people are awake. We're not trying to look like whatever we think a tantrika looks like, or a shaman looks like, or a spiritual person looks like. We're just being ourselves, knowing we are that. We are these divine beings, not trying to make it look like somebody else's idea of what a divine being is.
Exactly, exactly. I think that's awesome. I love how you said it. Very well put. What I did, I mean, when I came back from studying Tantra, was I changed my whole house to look like a temple. And so I have fabrics strewn on the, even when you just first walk into my house, there are fabrics that look like a maypole coming down into the dining room. And I had to do it because I decided that I was changing my whole life. Because before that, I looked very corporate. And I look kind of corporate now, but I mean, my whole world was in a box, you know, square. And now I feel like it's much more billowy and has much more femininity to it. That was a big takeaway for me in the very beginning. But I love this training, and I really encourage people to find out about it. They can call us, they can write us. How can people get directly in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you? What's your website, and how should they contact you?
So my website's tantraforawakening.com or .org. You can also, they can email me at crystal@tantraforawakening.com. Also, crystalsedona22 at Gmail is another email address they can reach me at. They can call. I'm available. My phone numbers are on my website.
That's awesome. And people, you can find me, of course, at butterflyworkshops.com. But I want to let you know that I have two new websites that I'm excited about. One is sexandhappinessinaminute.com. And the other one is called AskLauriHandlers.com. We're also both on Facebook. Crystal Dawn Morris. And not to be fooled, because there is another Crystal Dawn. So you need to get Crystal Dawn Morris. I'm Lori Handlers.
The thing is about the other Crystal Dawn. The other Crystal Dawn is black. And the other Crystal Dawn and I went to, we did the Sky Dancing Tantra Teachers Training together.
Oh my goodness.
And we were both named Crystal Dawn at birth. So I say she's my twin, separated at birth.
That's amazing.
Chocolate and chocolate of Tantra.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Well, let's see. Is there anything else that we want to tell people that we might have left out? I'm feeling really complete. I don't know about you.
What I'd like to say is we're going to be doing the spiritual sexual shamanic experience, also called the Issa Training Level 1, in Phoenix, September 21 through 28. It's the first time we're doing it in Phoenix. We're going to have this amazing team, you and I and Lawrence, and if people are ready to really change their life and bump it up to the next level, that this is an amazing opportunity. Just come and sign up. If they sign up in the next week or two, they're going to get the discount, so they should sign up and get the early bird.
Right.
To take a risk and really step into the passion and beauty and love and freedom that they are, so that they can make the rest of their life just one of orgasms and love and freedom and so they can be like you and I and really
right.
Get the world having a great time.
And also, you don't have to have any previous experience to come to this, and you can be very experienced. Like, obviously I'm very experienced, and I went to it and I was so excited to be at it, and I didn't think that was going to happen for me. So I thought I was going to be, I don't know. I thought I was going to know it all, and I'm so glad I wasn't a know-it-all. I had such a good time. So you can be on any level. You don't have to be in a couple. We don't care if you're gay or straight. We don't care if you're bi or if you're transsexual. We don't really care about any of it. You can just come and be with us and you can be completely at ease and at home with us within moments of arriving. So I want everyone to know that there's no prerequisite at all. Just come be with us in Phoenix.
The beauty of this training is that it will meet you, whoever you are, wherever you are, in each moment, and that's how it's designed. So whether you're somebody very new to spirituality, or who's just getting their sexual journey, or if you're somebody who's been done it all twice, because it is really designed that way. And it just can meet you right there, wherever you are, and take you on your next step. And that's so exciting about
it. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today, Crystal Dawn. It is my pleasure. Thank you so very, very much. And everybody, I'll see you again on Sex and Happiness. In the meantime, this is Laurie Handler signing off. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.